We are here with David Guzik. You are just an amazing Bible teacher and commentator, also Calvary Chapel Santa Barbara.
That's correct,
Tara. Right? Okay, so thank you for being here. Wow, I feel like this is such like a bonus conference. We're getting so much wisdom on prophecy, on what to look for, but also a lot of like, not just head knowledge, but lots of heart knowledge. It's really touching me as a parent, and I want to touch on what you just talked about a little bit. You talked about our future reward.
Yes.
And so my biggest takeaway from this teaching was reminding myself as a parent of a teenage girl and a preteen girl that I will not be fully and properly rewarded in this life. As a parent, that was gold to me. So thank you. And I'd like you to touch a little bit on how that keeps us, humble and focused. Because as a mom, I did everything by rewards with my kids. Charts, you get a star. Charts, you get a star, you get a reward. But so often I feel as parents, you know, we get a little beat up. And we know that we're doing what's good. We know that we're doing what's right before the Lord. But man, we get tired because we don't get any rewards right now. Especially if teenagers growing up in such a difficult time in this world and parents. How does that speak to our humility and keeping our eyes where they're supposed to be, which is not here?
Terry, that's tremendous. First of all, let me say that I'm really glad that you've noticed that our content is really speaking to the heart, to the life. Not only because sometimes if your subject is prophecy, as has been the subject for this conference, it can be all very theoretical, all very technical. And look, there's a place for that. But we do need to bring it down to the life and to the heart. And I think in terms of this reward, we just need to acknowledge that there are a lot of thankless jobs out there that God calls us to do. A parent of teenagers is often a thankless job. I'm at a stage of life right now where I'm not really in this with my parents, either my own parents or my wife's parents, but I know many people close to me who are caring for their parents at the end of their life. And it takes everything out of them. It's exhausting, it's stretching, and you know what? In many ways it's thankless, but not before God. And that's why we need to be assured. That's why God isn't hesitant to motivate us and remind us and assure us there is heavenly reward. Now, I do believe there's a little bit of danger in talking about this. This is the danger, not from that truth itself, but from a wrong way it can be taken. And the wrong way it can be taken is this, is that, well, if I'm working with people on a ministry team, I don't need to thank them. Matter of fact, if I thank them, I'll make them soft. they should just be doing it for God's glory. Listen, that's not a godly attitude at all. That's ignoring the dynamics of so many of the one another statements that we see in the New Testament. So yes, we do have a responsibility to encourage one another and help one another and support one another. But even with all of that, a lot of the work we do is going to seem thankless. We can rest in the assurance that God promises us a heavenly reward.
I'm good right there. Okay, so let's get into prophecy just a little bit.
Sure.
We all want to know when it's happening. We see what's happening with Russia and Ukraine. We get excited. We think, whoa, is it just a birth pain? Is this something significant? Do we still have a while to go? We talk about the Antichrist. We know we're not supposed to be looking for who that might be. Eyes are on Jesus. We are waiting to be taken. And we hear people say, I think the Antichrist is on the seed. And then we hear Dr. Heinzen say, nah, he's probably not born yet. And we're like, oh, man. Just your personal take on how close are we and how significant is Russia in Ukraine? Little step forward or big step?
Well, I think it definitely adds to the environment of perplexity of nations, of the sense of birth pangs and traumatic situations in the world. So while not regarding any particular war or pestilence, or conflict, or catastrophe in the world. No particular one is the sign of the end. Collectively, they speak to us of an urgency of the end of the age. And I think that God has given us deep and significant reason to believe that The stage is set. It's set politically, it's set economically, it's set culturally, it's set spiritually. The Bible describes certain conditions that will be on the earth in the very last days, and what we see around us fits that to a remarkable degree. I believe it's irresponsible for any Christian today to not be actively watching and ready for the return of Jesus Christ. Doesn't have to make us weird. It doesn't have to make us date setters. We want to avoid those kind of traps, mm-hmm. but live in the active anticipation of the return of Jesus Christ. We would be irresponsible to not do that.
Do you think the church as a whole is living with that real expectancy that we're supposed to be?
Not most of the church. Mm. I think it's what you might even call a remnant of the church. The church is asleep in many ways regarding the return of Jesus Christ. It's so common, the attitude of saying, well, you know, they were talking about the return of Jesus in the 70s and the 80s, didn't return then. I guess that, but listen, I believe very strongly, Terry, that God wants every generation of believers to have some reason to believe that Jesus Christ is coming soon. Because he wants us to live in that anticipation. Now, I believe that's generally true for all believers throughout church history. However, I think it's even more true. There isn't the better way to say it. It's truer in our present day, and we should regard it and take that seriously.
Some people have said this Russia-Ukraine situation, is it the start of World War III? And I heard, as believers, we know that we're not going to be here for the wrath of God. And I think in some of our minds, that means we're not going to be here for any wrath at all. Could we be here on Earth for World War III?
It's entirely possible. And what you're bringing is a very good distinction. We are not on Earth for the wrath of God that's described in what some people call the Great Tribulation. It goes by several different titles in the scriptures, the time of Jacob's trouble, Great Tribulation. But we will not be on earth for that. I'm firmly persuaded of that. However, Jesus did say, in the world you will have tribulation. Not the Great Tribulation, that's another thing. But we should not have the anticipation that God is obligated to carry us in lives of relative comfort and ease right to the rapture. We may face a lot of difficulty, a lot of persecution, as many believers around the world have already been suffering. Terry, I don't know if you're aware, but it is the estimation of historians and missiologists. I'm not saying that this is an absolute thing, but many historians and missiologists believe that in the 20th century, the last 100 years, more Christians have been martyred for their faith, killed because they were Christians, than in all previous centuries combined. So we live in a season of difficulty and trial and tribulation. Just because we haven't faced much of that directly in the Western world doesn't mean that we won't face it later, and doesn't mean that the body of Christ globally hasn't experienced it for a good long while.
Wow, that's amazing. Part of what I loved about your teaching today is it really gets us thinking about our real home, thinking yes. about what it's going to be like and how we're going to be walking around, interacting with each other. And a question I always have that I'd love to hear you answer is, and it's not a major question, it's something we as Christians take joy in talking about, again, because it's our real home and it gets us earthly minded. And that is just the difference between the millennial kingdom and eternity. We know no pain, no illness, and my sister often jokes that she wants to clean toilets in the palace. That's her job she wants in the millennial kingdom. She wants to be in the palace, and she said, I'll clean toilets. I don't care. That's what I'll do. But babies are born in the millennial kingdom.
Yes.
So what's in the millennial kingdom?
The millennial kingdom will be much more like our present age than most people think. I mean, the mountains, the oceans, the geography will be the same. The weather will be substantially the same. People who inhabit the earth will be the same. Now, I'm talking about believers, mm-hmm. God's people, we will be in a different state. We will be in our resurrection bodies. Mm-hmm. But I'm talking about the inhabitants of the earth. They'll be just like we are right now as inhabitants of the earth. though perhaps there will be some ecological revolution, because there's indication in the scriptures that lifespans will begin to become extended again in the millennial kingdom. There's passages in Isaiah that say that someone who dies after 100 years, they'll say he was just a child. So you're aware that in the book of Genesis, it describes people have very long mm-hmm. lifespans at the beginning, and then those lifespans around the time of Abraham became much more what we're familiar with now. Mm-hmm. There may be a reversal of that process in the millennium. But despite all that, it'll be much more like this present age than we think. Here's the biggest difference. It will be perfectly governed and administrated by our Lord and Messiah, Jesus Christ. Mm. Can you imagine that? No more corrupt governments, no more war right. among the nations. If there's a dispute between Russia and Ukraine, Jesus Christ or his emissaries will resolve it immediately. Evil will be immediately punished and righteously punished. It will be a different world in its government, absolutely.
Justice.
Yes.
It will be
absolute justice. Wow. Yes. Care, concern. Now, it doesn't mean that the inhabitants of the earth will necessarily be converted, although I'm sure many of them will be,
right.
but there will be a carried out, you could even say enforced righteousness in the world. It will be the kingdom of God on this earth.
I cannot wait.
Yes.
Awesome. Okay, so lastly, I just want to do something fun that I'm doing with some of the teachers. I kind of call it a rapture lightning round. Things that really aren't that important, but they're fun to talk about.
Okay.
So, when the trumpet blasts, everyone hears it or just us?
I'll go with this. Everybody hears something, only believers recognize it.
Oh, it gives me chills. Okay, awesome. When we're raptured, what will CNN say happened? What will Fox News say happened?
Interesting. I could see intimations of, here's one thing to think about. You know, some people wonder if our bodies will be taken up or not. Some people think that our bodies will be left behind and just our spirits, so to speak, will receive resurrection bodies. Of course, we know we'll receive resurrection bodies, but will, as the dead in Christ now, will our bodies remain on? If bodies remain, you could see some kind of pandemic or plague explanation. If bodies are taken, there are some people suggesting, I think this is a little way out there, but I can't eliminate it from the realm of possibility. People are talking about alien kind of, mm-hmm. you know, presence and that. And who knows? I know that's speculative. But it is interesting, is it not, that the U.S. government has, in the last couple years, opened up much more their UFO and alien encounter investigations and files and all this. Now look, I feel a little bit uncomfortable talking about it because I think that's highly speculative, really unusual, but who knows how those things might come into play with an end time scenario.
So aliens, obviously.
Could be an aspect in that. But it could be also this. It could be that the rapture happens in concert with some other great catastrophe that happens at the same time. Let's just say a nuclear exchange. And therefore, the world is preoccupied with other things.
And we're not such a big deal. No.
Could be.
Isn't that interesting?
It's fine to think about different scenarios. Yeah. But there is an aspect of prophecy that we really don't know until it's fulfilled.
Right.
You know, prophecy is only completely understood in its fulfillment. And I don't say that to throw cold water on those of us who try to figure it out, but all are trying to figure out, we just hold with somewhat of a loose hand.
Right.
Yes.
Got it. If people would love to hear more from you, more of your teachings, more of your prophecy and other teachings, where can they go to? Where are your teachings found?
I have a website, enduringword.com, and a lot of people access my resources, my ministry there. I also have a YouTube channel. If people go to YouTube and just search for Enduring Word or just my name, David Guzik, mm-hmm. they'll find my stuff pretty easily there. And then also, I'm very pleased that a lot of my Bible commentary is available on a tremendous Bible resource known as the Blue Letter Bible.
That's where I find you.
That's right.
Yep. David, thank you so much.